Grace you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've heard it said that there is one difference between home ownership 40 years ago and home ownership today. You know what the difference is? YouTube. Because if you know what I'm talking about, you can figure out how to do just about anything by watching YouTube videos. If you get to be a part of the do-it-yourself or the DIY community on YouTube. And the best part about it is, you don't have to read anything. No manuals, no instructions, you just watch and learn. It's great. I love it. But there's three things that you kind of need to know if you're going to try a DIY project on YouTube. You've got to know who it is you're watching, you've got to know what it is they're dealing with, and you got to know your own limitations. See, the videos can be short and sweet, and that can be deceiving because it might condense hours or even weeks of work that you don't know you're getting into. And before you know it, if you're not careful, you may find yourself having bitten off more than you can chew. So, these are the three questions that you ask yourself. First of all, who are you watching? Who are you dealing with? Is it somebody who has like a professional certification in welding? Is it somebody who's worked construction for years? Is it somebody who looks exceptionally strong? And second of all, what are you dealing with? I mean, does a project require equipment that would cost thousands of dollars for you or something like that? Is it going to take an outrageous amount of time? Is it going to take a lot of dexterity or really intricate work or steady hands or attention to detail? Is there potential danger involved? And then last but not least, what are your limits? Probably most importantly, what are your limits? In other words, can you do this? Do you have what it takes? I mean, sure, I might be able to take apart my washing machine by watching a YouTube video, but honestly, I don't know the first thing about washing machines. All I know is you stick dirty clothes in and clean clothes come out. That's about the extent of my knowledge. There's a real chance that I could ruin everything if I tried to fix my washing machine. And then there's the life and death ones that really give me pause. Now, Board of Church Properties, don't worry, because I'm not going to use YouTube to try to rewire the parsonage. Fear not. I realize that I have no electrical experience whatsoever, apart from sticking keys in light sockets when I was a kid. Do you know your own limits? Because you got to know yourself. And so we come to our Bible story for this morning. We come to Matthew chapter 4. And I think this must be one of the most relatable stories in all of Scripture. I mean, for most of us, if not all of us, Satan has not appeared physically in front of us to tempt us. But I don't care who you are. We've all been tempted in one way or another in our lives. In fact, we are tempted by Satan all the time. All the time. Like Jesus, we are tempted, and we put our own priority on gratifying our desires instead of the needs of others. Like Jesus, we are tempted to use what power we have. We're tempted to use our own two hands for protection rather than relying on God. Like Jesus in the wilderness, we are tempted to believe that God is not enough, that he doesn't want what's best for us, or that he isn't able to deliver. See, these are the temptations that the devil brings forth to Jesus in the wilderness. And these are the temptations that we face every single day, whether you're young or old, whether you are rich or poor, whether you have strong faith, or whether you wonder if you even believe all this stuff. It all comes down to this: does God really love me? I mean, we might go through the calculus when we face temptations. But that's the heart of it. Does God really love me? So when we see Jesus, I mean, facing the same things that we face in Matthew chapter 4, we perk up. Maybe there's something I can learn from this Bible story. Maybe Jesus is showing me the way to resist temptation, right? But if you remember, if you're going to follow a DIY video, I mean, guys, you got to know those three questions. You have to know the answers, who you're watching, what it is they're dealing with, and what your own limits are. So, number one in Matthew chapter 4. Who are we watching? Well, of course, we're watching Jesus Christ. We're watching the Son of God. He's got all the credentials that he needs. He is sinless. He is powerful. He is all-knowing. He's up to the task. He knows what he's doing, right? Number two, what is he dealing with? He's dealing with temptation from Satan himself, the prince of demons, the master of lies, the one who orchestrated the fall of countless people, a formidable foe. And number three, what are my limitations? Well, here's the problem. See, I'm a sinful human being. I am mortal, and I am relatively powerless. I've been known to get myself into some pretty good pickles as far as temptation is concerned, and I have to admit that the lies of the devil are often convincing, if not even tantalizing. And I'm guessing that I'm not just describing myself here, but that I'm telling you something about you too. So when in Matthew chapter 4 we watch Jesus kick Satan's butt in the wilderness when he's tempted, what are we supposed to think? I mean, some might read this story and think, oh, do as Jesus does. But come on. I mean, us against Satan? He's got a whole lot of practice at this lying and this temptation thing. See, this is what DIY, when you're fighting Satan, looks like. It looks like, I think I'd like to be like God, and I could probably do a better job than he is. This is what DIY fighting Satan looks like. It looks like the golden calf. It looks like Aaron saying, I just threw this gold into the fire and out popped this calf. It only made sense that we should worship it. DIY against Satan looks like this. It looks like Peter's denial. It looks like something Peter saying, I swear to you, I do not know this Jesus. This is what happens when we fight against Satan. I mean, as the old hymn puts it, the old evil foe now means deadly woe on earth is not his equal. With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss affected. But here's the thing. You know how that verse ends, right? You know how that verse finishes. But for us fights the valiant one. One little word can fell him. Jesus. See, our Bible study our Bible reading for today is something that we watch, not something that we do. It's Jesus and the devil in the wilderness, because in this story, the Lord Jesus Christ goes toe-to-toe with our old evil foe, and unlike any man that ever came before him, he wins. This is the first thing that Jesus does in his ministry, and really, this is what his ministry is all about. It's all about him beating down Satan, finishing him once and for all. See, Satan wasn't used to humans putting up such a fight, and yet Christ wins. He wasn't used to this. But what do you expect would happen when God comes in the flesh? See, Satan slinks away this time after this wilderness episode. Satan slinks away and realizes the battle is not going to be easy, but it's also not over yet. See, with humans, it's usually just one lie and it's over. But Satan comes again for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He comes again as Jesus is in anguish and praying that God would take this cup away. But rather than save himself, he follows the Father's will. Satan comes at him one last time with temptation from the lips of people who don't realize what they're saying when Jesus is on the cross. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And see, to us it sounds a lot like ridicule, but to Jesus it is pure temptation because he could have done it. He could have done exactly that, and yet he didn't. And yet he died. And by his death he defeated Satan and his lies once and for all. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this Bible story is not about learning how to beat Satan yourself. This Bible story is about Jesus beating Satan for you. He beats Satan so that you don't have to, because I'll tell you, 10 times out of 10, when it's us versus the devil, you lose that battle, but Jesus doesn't. When your washing machine is broken, And when you don't have the skills and the DIY video from YouTube is way out of your league, what do? What's your next step? Well, you call the washing machine guy, right? You call somebody who knows what they're doing. When your adversary, Satan, is after you and laying before you all kinds of temptation, and you're in way over your head, what do? You call somebody who knows what they're doing. You call the guy who defeated Satan and all of his temptations. You call Jesus. You call on his name. You don't try to fight on your own. You call in the name of Jesus. You pray. You go where he could be found, in his word and in his sacraments. You do what you're doing right now. You come to church and you hear the word of God. We say, Lord Jesus, we are oppressed on every side, and Satan is seeking to snatch us out of your hand. Will you come and save us? Will you come and fix this? Because we know that you and you alone can defeat our enemy. And guess what happens when you do that? He comes. He's there. He comes to be with you and I. He comes to be with us today, and he says, I heard that you need some assistance. And here, this should do the trick. Take and eat my body given for you. Take and drink my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Do you wonder if I love you? This is how I prove it to you. I defeated Satan when you couldn't. I died to seal the deal. Of course I love you. And so Jesus is with us, and we are not alone. And Satan cannot harm us. Now we can stand up because of Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. From victory to victory, his army he shall lead till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.